It is good to have this time with you. I'm glad to see those of you that are here and that we can come together and celebrate Christ and His goodness this morning. We're going to be looking in Genesis again, so I'm going to ask that you turn with me to Genesis chapter 32. We've taken a little walk in the book of Genesis the last few weeks, and one more step in the book of Genesis is not going to hurt us at all, because there are so many truths that we can find in all of God's Word that are still applicable for us today. We're going to begin in verse number 24. I'm going to ask that you stand with me in honor of God's Word. Genesis 32, beginning in verse 24. And then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said to him, "Let me go, for the day breaks." But he said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And so he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." He said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed." And then Jacob asked, saying, "Tell me your name, I pray." And he said, "Why is it that you should ask about my name?" And he blessed him there. Father, we thank you so much for this day and for your blessings in it. And Lord, I pray that today your truth is revealed to us and open to us in the words that we have before us. Lord, help us to see and to hear and open our hearts to receive. Because each day that we walk, we must make choices about who we will be, who we will love, who we will honor. And I pray, Father, that your words will strengthen us for this life that we live and the things that we face every day. Lord, we ask for your help and for your strength, and we give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Be seated, please. Jacob. I think all of us know who Jacob is, and if not, may have heard of his name at least, and know that he is a big part of what is Israel. In fact, his name is changed to Israel, and therefore the tribes began to grow. But there are so many things that are happening in the life of Jacob. He's in a moment of darkness. It's night. You know, we've experienced that ourselves, right? Night is dark. How many of you have ever experienced night when it wasn't dark? Hey, I know some of us have been up north, haven't we? And we've seen that continual daylight. Not fun over a long period of time. It's not good. I'll tell you what, being in the dark is no fun either. And continual darkness is really not good for us. But Jacob, he's in a place where he's all alone, and it's at night, and he is about to wrestle with a man. And there are some questions that come from this passage, and I'm just going to ask a few of the questions that I have. First question is, why was Jacob alone? The other questions are, how did Jacob prevail against this man that he was wrestling with? And then how did Jacob win a blessing that was bestowed upon him? And so if we can answer these questions for Jacob, I'm telling you today we can answer these questions for ourselves. And the first question is this: why was Jacob alone? I'm just going to hit it right out of the park on this one. You ready? He was afraid. There's nothing else can be said. That's a home run hit right there. Jacob was afraid. That's why he was alone. In the middle of the night, if you go back and you read through the preceding verses and chapters, you will find that there are things happening in the life of Jacob and his family, and Jacob and his father-in-law, you know, they didn't always see eye to eye. They had disagreements, and Jacob had a good relation at times, but he was fearful of his father-in-law, and he had also gotten word from God that it was time for him to go back to the place of his family. And so Jacob became afraid that Laban would want to keep his daughters and all of the wealth that Jacob had acquired while he was working under Laban. And so he begins to organize and prepare to leave and leave in secret, not even telling his father-in-law. So Jacob's afraid of things that possibly happening in his life that he has no control over. He has also the idea that he's going to have to face his brother again. How many of you remember Esau? And Jacob had stolen Esau's birthright and his blessing. So Jacob's got his father-in-law behind him, and he's got Esau before him. And he's just afraid. But he has no reason to be afraid. Let me just point out a couple of verses. In Genesis 31, verse 3, you find these words, God telling Jacob, return to your land of your father. So he's told by God to go. In 32:9, Jacob says, O God of my father Abraham and Isaac. And he calls out to him again because he's fearful of the situation he's about to get into. And in 32:11, we bring home the point that he is afraid because he says, deliver me from the hand of my brother. So Jacob has a lot of concern in his life right now. He's facing some issues. He is about to give an account for who he has been in life. This is the source of his fear. How many of us have been something in our life that we sorely regret, but regretted it even more when we had to face it through the eyes and the lives of others that we impacted? And see, Jacob is about to face his brother. Oh, he's gonna deal with Laban, and everything's gonna be okay, and he's gonna get through that mess just fine, but he's still got his brother ahead of me. And God has already told him to go, and he said, I'll be with you. So he shouldn't have any fear. But here is a central point that underlines the fear of Jacob. And we need to see this because it is in the life of so many people today. When he prayed to God in verse 9 of chapter 32, hear the words that he spoke. He said, O God of my father, Abraham and Isaac. And when you look through the reference in Scripture, you will find that Jacob will reference to the father or to the God of his fathers. But how many times do you find Jacob ever say, my God? Oh, Father, my God. How many times do you see Jacob referencing the goodwill of his God in life? Or how many times is Jacob impacted in his life over in the land of his father-in-law, where his father-in-law had gods and idols sitting around in his house, and he had to face his father-in-law? He chased him down because his father-in-law thought he had stolen his idols, and it was his wife that had taken them. Jacob didn't know. But his father-in-law, angry, had to deal with that. He had to deal with the concept of false gods and idols in his life and in his family. He had a God on his father's side and gods on his father-in-law's side. You think Jacob ever compromised between the two? Because Jacob, though God was with him, was not an honest man. And he had to face who he had been in life with his father-in-law and with his brother Esau. He He shouldn't have been afraid. God had told him to go. I'll be with you. He calls out to God, O God of my father, Abraham and Isaac. He stands before God in this moment of prayer as though he has some standing of his own, but he's relying on the relationship of his fathers before him. And how many people in churches today are standing on the relationship of their family that has gone on before them and have not found that relationship themselves? How many people in churches today will say to you, well, my daddy was a preacher. My mama was the pianist. My mama was the Sunday school teacher. My daddy was a Sunday school teacher. But when you ask them what their walk with God is, it's always how their family has walked with God and not them. Where is their standing in the eyes of God? Is it through their family or on their own merits? Because of their relationship with Him. I want to challenge you today on this issue because too many people have a relationship with God through their family when it should be through their own heart. You will not answer for the things that your family has done, and your family will not answer for the things that you have done, but you will not find peace with God through the work or through the faith of others. If you don't have faith in Jesus and are working the works that He has put in your life to work, you will not have peace with God. And Jacob is alone at night. He's afraid of what he's about to face. Not only is he afraid, he hasn't called on God as his own God. He says, deliver me from the hand of my brother. He's saying, I know you told me to go. I heard you. You told me you'd be with me, but I'm still calling you the God of my fathers. And oh, my brother's still out there. Nobody's told me it's all good for me to go. So Jacob begins to take things into his own hands, like so many of us do in life. And if you begin to read through all of this, you'll see he separates his family into groups. He separates all of his servants and all of his livestock. And he begins to send them out separately ahead of him. So that as Esau is approaching with his 400 men, he will run into these little caravans that are preceding him. And they can say to him, we are a gift from your brother Jacob. So Jacob is trying to buy peace with his brother Esau. One after another, until he sends his own family across the river and tells them to go as well. Jacob was willing to give up everything in his life, everything that he had earned, everything that was part of him, family, willing to give them away as gifts to his brother so he could have peace. Does that sound like someone who trusts in God? Does that sound like someone who really heard God say, go, I will be with you? I know I've made mistakes in life at times. I feel God has led me to be in a place or to do a particular thing, and I decide I'm going to show God I can help organize and get things done too. It doesn't work out so well. Whenever we try to take over and do what God is working, and we try to make it our work more than God's work, and input our ideas and our understandings, when we begin to apply the concepts of the world to our life to make something God has promised real to us, we have gone the wrong path. And this is what Jacob was doing. And this is why he was alone in the middle of the night by himself. He didn't trust God, who was the God of his fathers, not yet calling him his own God, and he was afraid of who he had been in life, and he was about to give an account for it. And so he's on this side of the river while everybody else has crossed and gone on. And a man shows up in the middle of the night. A man, and starts wrestling with him. Now, how many of you know who the man was? Because this is a significant event. This is what has been called and is known as a Christophany. And if you don't know what that means, we are talking about Christ in the flesh. And when you look at this verse, I want you to see what is happening. In verse 24, then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. And this man is capitalized in my scripture, and it should be in all scripture. But when it says man, you should ask yourself, well, who is this man? Is there anything I can reference to comprehend who this man is? Think back to Joshua. When Joshua was outside of Jericho and his armies were there, and there was a man who appeared. And it says, a man. And Joshua said, sir, are you here to help? And he said, no, I am here to be the captain of your armies. And Joshua fell down before him. We're talking about a pre-incarnate Christ before Joshua. We're talking about a pre-incarnate Christ before Jacob. We're talking about Christ who reveals himself throughout his walk with his creation and showing people he is with them. And he will strive with them to get them where they need to be. And Jacob, what a wonderful example for all of us. How we can be in the family of God and not claim him, and God is wrestling with us time and time again until we finally get to a point where God says, okay, we're done wrestling. The moment is coming when I need to see you be what I need you to be. And he touches us with his finger and throws our hip out of joint. Now let me ask you a question. Do you think that Jacob was really prevailing against this man? He was wrestling with him all night. And if this man could take his finger and touch his hip and throw it out of socket, what do you think he could have done with the strength of his arm? Could he have just put Jacob down completely? Most certainly he could have. But when God is working his will in our lives and we're still wrestling with him, we can get to a point where something needs to be done, but God still in his tender mercies will love us and do just only that which is needed. So we only touched him and threw his hip out. Jacob still being Jacob though. The man said, let go of me. And Jacob said, I'm not letting go until you bless me. Now here, this is real life, isn't it? People fighting with God even to the bitter end. I'm not letting go until you bless me. But is Jacob really the one prevailing against God? Did Jacob really win a blessing from God? Because this is where we start answering these questions for ourselves. And the answer is no. He didn't win it. But something did have to happen for Jacob to have the blessing of God. Let me go, for the day breaks. And Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And he held on to Christ the same way he held on to the heel of Jacob. But he's not going to steal a blessing from Christ the way he stole blessing and birthright from Esau. It's just not going to work that way. But I'm not going to let go until you bless me. How many of you are struggling with God and you're saying that? I'm not letting go until you bless me. But you are rejecting God for who he is in your life. You haven't called him your God yet. You've only said, well, I know you've been in my family all my life. I've seen good works that you have done. I believe that you are real, but you haven't called on Him. You haven't taken the steps necessary to have that relationship that gives you peace with Him. And this is why Jacob is wrestling. He doesn't have peace with God, and he's trying to get it. He's demanding it in the form of a blessing. I'm not letting go until you bless me. And so Christ said, "What is your name?" What is your name? Esau knew his name. Laban knew his name. I don't know that any of them had fond memories associated with the name of Jacob. How many of you have family members and you hear their name and you go, oh. You just put your hand to your head and just bend over and take a deep breath. Oh, Lord, help. You have family like that? Are you family like that? It's okay because peace can still be found. Relationships can still be built. Christ said to him, "What is your name?" Hands locked, wrestling. Jacob's hips out. "I'm not letting go until you bless me." "What is your name?" Now, I want you to remember this, because I've already mentioned that Jacob was holding on to him the same as he held on to the heel of his brother. I want you to remember how Jacob stole his brother's birthright, his blessings. Do you remember when Jacob went to his father and pretended to be Esau? And he brought him the food. And guess what? Mom was in on this too. Now moms, y'all pay attention, because y'all shouldn't help the unruly children as much as you do. God's got a plan. He'll get people where He needs them to be. Jacob said, "If I go in there, you know, I'm not hairy. Esau's a hairy man. And look, I'm smooth skinned. He's going to know the difference between us as soon as I walk in and he holds me." They fixed him up, wrapped him up with, you know, sheepskins and rubbed dirt on him, and he brought in that savory food mom cooked. It was from the game that had been taken. He walked in, and his father Isaac said, "Well, you sound like Jacob, but you smell like Esau. You feel like Esau. Okay, I'll bless you." And that's how he stole the blessing from Esau. And it wasn't long after he had taken the blessing and left, Esau comes in and breaks down in tears. "Oh, Father, please, don't you at least have a blessing for me? Jacob's gone." Esau is broken completely. Now he's in the arms of Christ and he's wrestling. "And I will not let you go until you bless me." And Christ said to him, "What is your name?" And I'm telling you now, when you are in the hands of Christ, you can't lie and get away. He wasn't in the hands of his father's Isaac. He couldn't deceive Christ the way he deceived his father. He couldn't pretend to be something that he wasn't. He had to admit in the hands of Christ who he was. "My name is Jacob." And then he received a blessing. What I want you to understand is you can wrestle with God all you want, but until you break down in the way of Jacob, as we find in Hosea, he said, yes, he struggled with the angel and prevailed. He wept and sought favor from him. Until you can break down in the hands of Christ, because of the sacrifice and the love and the mercy and the grace that He gives you every day, until you can call Him Lord and Savior and plead for forgiveness for who you are, You will not find peace with God. I don't care what your family has done. I'm not here for them. I'm here for you. And I'm telling you, find peace through Christ. If you are wrestling with Him today, tell Him who you are. That means you pour it out. I am a sinner. I am lost. I am broken. I am unstable. And I need your help. I need your strength. I need your forgiveness. I need renewing in my life. And you leave Jacob behind and you become the new creation in Christ. And that's exactly what happens with Jacob. My name is Jacob. Yes, it was. But now, your name is Israel. You see how that works? I mean, it's all written in such a compact fashion. But the truth of it is this. Don't think because of who your family is that you have all of the blessing God has to give. You have to find that through your relationship with God. Or you might be the benefactor of things that God does through your life because of who your family is. But that doesn't mean it will always be. You've got to find that relationship with Christ yourself. And I want to remind you this. When you find that relationship with Christ, you are changed. You are changed. Just like Jacob was changed. He went from being Jacob to being Israel. Now I want to share this one last thought. Because this is not the first time God has changed the names of people in Scripture. How many of you remember that He changed Abram to Abraham and Sarai to Sarah? But He said, Jacob, we got to start all over with you. You know, there's nothing similar between Jacob and Israel. There's nothing similar. God said, we are making a new walk in life. And who you were is over. And who you will be is just beginning. And who you will be is just beginning. And see, this is the way it is when we become a new creation in Christ. Will we still struggle with the old man? Yes, we will. Will we still have battles that we have to fight? Yes, we will. Will we win every time we go to war with the old man? No, we will not. But that's why we have Christ, who is our champion, who is our Savior, who is our friend, who is the one that we can call to for help, the one we can weep with when we need strengthening and forgiveness, and the one we can point others to find life. As we have found it. And become a new creation in Christ. I'm asking you all, if you don't know Christ today, don't stay Jacob. Don't stay the way of Jacob. Let Christ take you and make you new. It's a wonderful thing. It is a wonderful thing. And your joys in Christ are eternal. Your joy in the way of Jacob, it comes to an end. It comes to an end. What a wonderful account we have in the life of Jacob, who he was. What he became in the moment he was about to face everything in life, who he was between his brother and even with Laban. how he came to relationship himself with God and what God did with him after. It's the same with us. Who we are before God. Who we are when we're with God. I'm inviting you to know the pleasure and the joy of having life in Christ today. If you don't know Him as Lord and Savior, would you come and find that peace with Him through Jesus? Because there's no other name under heaven by which we must be saved than Jesus Christ. Father, I thank You again for this day, and I thank You so much for Your words that show us and teach us. Lord, I pray for Your strength to be all that You need us to be in truth, in sincerity, in love, and mercy. Father, as You have given us these things, help us to live them before all, to Your honor and to Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Will you come while the altar is open?